Joined in the studio by former Rising Wildcat, Arkansas State Indian. And I might have, Shamar, I thought I had the Arkansas State fight song. I had it somewhere.
Oh, man.
We'll have to find it some other time. Welcome in the studio. Glad to be with us today.
Glad to be here.
What's been up with you lately?
Raising these kids.
Happy birthday, two-year-old.
Yeah,
today.
Aiden, he turned two today.
There
Aiden
we go. Turned,
and Matt, look at him. He's already knowing how knows how to work the smartphone.
He's on the basketball game too.
I just told
he
you.
He knows. He's got it.
He's playing it, isn't he?
There we go.
He loves it.
And I'll tell you the one of the stories when we had some live fan feedback about you the other day, and I said, you know, there was a funny story about Shamar that. I'd heard about you, and I've talked about the high school all-star game that I think kids should be able to play. And now it seems like maybe social media and stuff, you might even hear more. But when we were playing, you didn't have all the Twitter Facebook. And so I just would hear, they would say, hey, there's this great running back from Rising. You know, and then you would hear about Darius Howard. You'd hear about certain players. And we'd get there, and I remember asking the coach, I said, Is Shamar Bracey on our team? He said, no, I think he's on the other team. I said, okay. And so we're lining up to sing the national anthem. And Shamar's looking at me like he's getting ready to go, like we're about on the UFC fight. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, I'm getting ready too. And I just remember that because I was like, that's the type of guy I want on my team, that he's ready to go. He's ready to play. It doesn't matter if it's an all-star game or not. He wanted to win. And I remember that competitiveness about him. And I don't know, did Arkansas recruit you? Because I remember wanting you to come to Arkansas.
Did. All right, let me go back to that first. My mindset, when you get on those platforms, you have to take advantage of those. You know,
right.
Because, like, the names that you hear and the way they play, and then for me to know, you know, what's in me, what I got, and it's not
you
being
displayed.
You
want to prove that you're better. Yeah,
so when I'm in the mix of those people, I just, you know, I got to turn it on. So.
You had a Jeb Huckabee, that you had some other players that, you know, were signing scholarships, and you want to prove that you belong there.
Yeah, no doubt. And did that, the way you played in that game, were you already committed to Arkansas State?
I was committed to Arkansas. I went, it was like same year of you. So
yeah.
What happened? Well, we would have all been in the same recruiting class.
Okay.
And academically.
Because it was Cedric Houston, too, right? Is that right? He went to Tennessee.
He went to Tennessee.
D'Angelo Williams. That's what I thought.
He was a year behind us. But what happened was I was because of some issues that I had coming out of high school, it wasn't necessarily like my ACT, but it was just some things that kind of happened with a teacher. You know, so that kind of forced me, you know. Houston Nutt was there, so he said, hey, we got a plan for you, Shamar. It's gonna work out. Here you go.
And that sounds just like him, too, doesn't it?
What happened was, they sent me to Coffeyville, and I never played a down there, man. I was there with Brandon Jacobs and Damian Nash. I don't know if y'all remember him, he passed
away. I remember
away.
Damian Nash,
yeah. I was there with and Muhammad Abdul Qadir, one of the best running backs I ever seen. Watch the story, Unfortunate Son.
Me and Damian Nash went on a recruiting trip to maybe the Cleveland Browns or something together. So I remember him because we were in the airport together and talked a little bit about you.
Funny guy, good dude. But I never played there because, you know, I was in the midst of, you know, some talented guys. But, you know, the main plan was to go there, get your grades straight. And at SEC, for some reason, they had this rule.
Yeah.
And I think they changed it, like, after me. It was called the D rule, basically. It didn't matter if you had all your credits or whatever they sent you there to get, but if you had a D, I had a D and a none, you know, just a random class, and it wouldn't transfer.
Like an elective class or whatever.
An elective class. And I was there on campus. Like, I was there on campus getting set up, and they came to me and said, hey, man, you got to go back, and you got to do another semester in Coffeyville. And I was, you know, wore out, and I was ready to play, and Coach Gunn.
Well, that's a tough roller coaster ride there, yeah.
And Coach Gunn at the time, he was just kind of consistent. And after the sign of Arkansas, he still just talked to me. So that was one of the things that kind of stuck with me. And
talking about David Gunn at
David
Arkansas
Gunn,
State.
Yeah. And it just kind of stuck with me. So I was like, you know what, I'm ready to go play. So it was just an easy transition to go over there and play.
Let's start back your high school days in Rising and growing up there and playing for a coach like Clay Toddy, and in a town that has so much history,
man,
and tradition around high school football.
I'm gonna tell you the story that Coach Toddy, he tells all the time, and it's a good story. I only played 1 year of high school football, because I was kind of bouncing back. I was living in Pine Bluff and in between, mm-hmm. so I moved to Pine Bluff too late to play. When I came back to Rising my senior year, you know, I had to do some summer workouts and some things in the summer. And I overslept one day. It was the first day I overslept. And Coach Tidy, he knocked on my door, woke me up. I'm in my boxers. He woke me up. He goes, "Hey, you late. You better beat me there." And then he made me walk, and he drove. But I ran full speed. I think he said he went and got coffee and drove a little slow. But just my determination to be on that team, I ran full speed, like 2 miles, and made it to the
– And you beat him to
the – Yeah, I beat him there.
Wow.
And see, that is something that I could see happening, you know, the 60s, 70s, 80s. You know, back in the day, you could see more of that happening. But now you don't see that as much, as far as players are more babied now, it seemed than they were back then. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think it's easier for a kid to leave and go somewhere else. And coaches that want the tradition and those runs, they kind of pacify younger talent a little more now because of that, you know.
Well, and coaches want to keep their job. I mean, the way it goes, that you don't – what was the deal, Trey? You said SEC coaches, was it 4.5 or 5.5 is the average length of an SEC head coach now?
I think so.
And that seems to be on the high end.
Yeah.
That 2 years, 3 years, coaches are getting fired, things are happening. So you want to keep your talent there instead of being tough on players.
Let's think back. Okay, Dooley wasn't there very long.
2 or 3 years.
Bobby Petrino wasn't there very long. And, and it's something that he created himself, or he still would be there. But he's gone.
How long was Coach Nutt at Ole Miss?
Not very long.
He was at Arkansas for a while, but then he wasn't there.
He was at Arkansas for 10.
How long was Urban Meyer at Florida? Was he there six, 7 years?
Maybe 6 or 7.
Because he wasn't there when we played him. Yeah. When we played him my sophomore or junior year, it was still Zook.
James Franklin is in his third year at Vanderbilt right now, or second year. Second or third year.
Second year.
James Franklin's in his third, yeah, at Vanderbilt.
Third year.
Because they had back-to-back bowl wins.
Oh, yeah.
And this is, right,
yeah,
under him.
Maybe they didn't win the bowl game, but back-to-back bowl seasons,
right,
yeah.
But Franklin took over for the coach that replaced Bobby Johnson, who was the offensive line coach who got to Media Day a couple of years ago and – I was like, wow, this is big. I mean, he was telling more jokes than anything else. You look at Kentucky, they've got a new coach now. Rich Brooks no longer there.
Yeah, Kentucky. Well, and Mississippi State coach and Ole Miss coach haven't been there that long.
Hugh Freeze is in his second year. Gus Malzahn's in his first year.
Right.
So, yeah, you're right.
And those are products of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Arkansas
State. Exactly.
And Shamar, your time with Clay Toddy and – the rivalry between Fordyce and Rising, I think everybody in the state understands that.
You're talking about two cities shutting down.
Yeah.
Just for the, you know.
He's having
game.
Fun over there on that game, isn't he?
Is that you know, when you watch Friday Night Lights and the movies, when you have two smaller communities playing, they're closed at 3 o'clock because they're in the bus ride going to the stadium early. Mm-hmm. You know, people are going there.
Man, I was at Kevin Williams' house for 4th of July, and all of the Fordyce guys was there, a lot of older guys, and one of my good buddies, his name's Eddie Walker, he lives around the corner from me, that's his good buddy. So we go over there, and they like, yeah, this Shamar Bracey, Rising. And immediately everybody like, Rising? You know, because everybody there is like Fordyce, so it like carries,
you know,
past.
It's not just that one
it's
day.
Not, but it's not Shamar Bracey, it's Shamar Bracey from Rising. Rising, you know, that's how it is.
Yeah, it's not Shamar Bracey, the person, it's Shamar Bracey, he's a Wildcat.
Yeah, he's from Rising.
We did our game of the week, I believe it was 2 years ago. RJ, Bob White, and myself, we went down to Rising for Fordyce Rising. It was at the end of the year then. And it was such an important game that they had a couple of bulbs out on their scoreboard. So instead of getting a ladder out, Matt and Shamar, they took two guys and they held a guy on their shoulders while the guy on the shoulders would change the light bulb.
Because it was quicker to get it done,
no,
right?
No doubt. It didn't use a ladder or anything. And then the food down there before the game was unbelievable.
It was in Rising?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It was in Rising.
Barbecuing everywhere.
And I have heard some Clay Toddy pregame speeches before. And we tried to get one, but because of the metal locker room and weight room and stuff, we couldn't get a good wireless signal from a wireless microphone from where we were. But can you tell us one good Clay Toddy pregame speech? Because I remember one where a crowbar came into use and some other things.
I can't be verbatim. Like, they're so powerful, the things they say, and you get so, you know, caught up and wrapped up into it, all you want to do is really play. Coach Toddy's just one of those guys that when he talks, you know that it's not like blowing smoke up you just so you can win this game. He really means what he says so you can be that person that you need
and
to be.
And he's passionate about he's so it. Passionate and like what you're saying, it. You're emotional about yeah. it. In that moment, you're yeah. ready to go.
Yeah, you're yeah. ready to go. It's just adrenaline gets going so fast.
Your senior year,
mm-hmm.
you're playing for the state championship,
mm-hmm.
and you're playing against a Gus Malzahn coach Shiloh Christian
mm-hmm.
team. And you guys score, mm-hmm. and instead of having the game go into overtime, Coach Toddy decides to do what?
I think the smartest play that he ever did, because you got Shamar Bracey on your team, and
you only got to get 3 yards, right?
You only got to get 3 yards, but you don't use them. You don't use them on this down. You use a play that we practice maybe 5 times the whole year. And you put your second-string quarterback in, which is the most elusive player on the field, and then you throw it to a Roderick Smith that never caught a pass before in his life.
Never he caught a pass?
Never caught. That was his first completion ever. He was the Jason back to me. And Dreon Gray takes it and throws it to Roderick Smith, and everybody go crazy. I think it was like a blocking situation. I took off this way, Rhett Lashley, and, I mean, the whole team chased me. And
well, you know, I don't know if there was a timeout before that, but you know if there was a timeout or any type of situational, because like you said, y'all practiced that a couple times. And, of course, you have certain plays that you might only run once a year, but you practice them every mm-hmm. other week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know the defensive staff said, you know where the ball is going, this is who we got to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a great play call because all the eyes are going to go on you.
Great play.
The pregame speech that Toddy gave that night, Luke Matheson, of ArkansasVarsity.com just tweeted it to me, so I have retweeted that. So if you follow me at Trey1037 The Buzz, you can see that video.
Luke knows everything.
Yes, he does. Or if you follow The Buzz on Twitter, you can see that as well because I just retweeted that. But what was it like, Shamar, for you all to knock off the so-called giant of that classification?
It felt so good because, like I said, that's all you heard at the time. And that program, that team that Gus was building then, I think they was like, we heard about the recruiting guys from Georgia, giving them scholarships. I mean, so many stories behind. And then it was like, you know, just the situation where you're going up against a team where no one expects you to win at all.
And was that the year of, or was this the next year they had that epic game with Junction City that was like 74-73. Rhett Lashley throws for 800 yards. We'll run to Junction City's running back rushes for 500. You know, I don't know if that
year.
Was
– That was the same
that's
year.
What you're
that
hear,
same
that's
year.
What you're talking about yeah. is you hear that yeah. stuff going on. And back then, as far as without as much of the social media, it was just talk. You hear this, you hear
right.
that. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, it's like, you know, you're in Rising. It's not I guess when it comes to the football program, we on a certain stage because it is a lot of tradition there, and we take pride in that. If you go down there, the biggest thing you're going to see on the biggest building in there says pride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's just one thing that always kind of stuck with me. And but for others, you know, you say 2A. You know, they look at it like, you know, 2A. But when I was a 2A track athlete that won me the champs. You know, so to do those things – it's, you know, it's wonderful to me.
I'm telling you right now, there's some great football played at the 2A level. This year,
uh-huh.
the way that Junction City won the championship was the best game of all 6 of them, where it was a heave to the end zone with a second left.
Well,
and
Harding
pass.
Academy, that was a good game,
Harding
too.
Harding Academy had a good game,
3A. I forget who they playing, a smaller school, but
they were playing I can't remember who they were
but
playing.
But that was two smaller schools, yeah.
Right. And then the way Junction City won against Ezark a couple of years before this past year, they kicked a field goal, Shamar, with like 0.3 of a second left to win 10-8.
Crazy.
I mean, now Junction City's got some history and tradition, just like Ryza does.
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to get back down there?
Ryza,
it's his birthday. He's happy.
He happy.
Are you able to get back down there much?
We just did Tyrell Johnson's camp down there, June 8th it was, and we was down there having a good time.
And then talk about your years and days in Jonesboro at Arkansas State.
Jonesboro was, you know, it was a learning experience for me, like I say, because I told you that I only played 1 year high school football. So everything I did after that was kind of catching up. So I'm in this locker room with these guys that's been doing this for a really, really long time. And all I have is just natural speed, you know, not really the knowledge of the game. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to fit in quickly, learn quickly, but I'm a little behind. So it's just one of those things where you kind of saturate yourself with information and try to, you know, kind of still stand out. And
I know what you mean, because when I made the transition from quarterback to receiver,
right,
I'd never done it before. Right. And you've played football, you've played sports, you've competed, but that has to be kind of the same way. You're going to that level, and you've really played, what, 1 year of football?
1 year.
Yeah.
If you could talk to kids right now, and if you had it to do all over again, what would you do different, and what would you tell kids these days to do different?
I would, and this is important to me, because I say this at the camps when I have my groups. I feel like my biggest thing, the reason why Shamar Bracy is not a household name, is because my preparation to the game is important. I felt like because I was faster, bigger, you know, and stronger, it was easier for me to get out there and do the things that I did. But when I was on a stage with grown men that got paid to do it, I shrunk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of the preparation, you know, in the past towards that situation. So a lot of kids are on track doing it now with, you know, with these camps and things that people do in the community. But the ones that are out there with no guidance and no leadership, I say find it, you know, the best way you can if that's something that you want. And you gotta channel it, and you gotta have passion towards it and not just rely on your natural talent.
And that's a great point, and that's something that Coach Bielema said that he was doing with that Arkansas team that won 4 games last year, was what you just said, and learning the proper technique, having discipline, being able to put your talent and work at your craft. And that's exactly what Shamar's saying. And you're right. The professionals, the men that do this for a living, it's their craft, and you got to have that discipline and learn the techniques and the stuff that maybe you don't know, or somebody hasn't taught you the right way, then you got to go and learn it. Yeah.
Let's go to Jim, who's in Rising. Jim, welcome to Overtime.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I appreciate it. I wanted to ask Shamar if he remembers something. Shiloh Christian bought their jerseys early that said state champions before the game and ordered their rings early. And then, of course, the guy that made the jerseys came down to Rising and donated a bunch of jerseys to us that said shock the state.
I remember that Coach Tidy, one thing he said, now I do remember this, he said the shock the state thing. I think they kind of borrowed that from Tidy, because that was what we pushed. And when we won the game, it was so emotional, because we knew that they bought their jerseys and ordered their rings. You know, so, yeah, I do remember that. I do.
Thanks a lot, buddy, for the time. I just want to tell you how proud we are of you.
Yep.
What was the score to that championship game? Because did y'all won by one,
right?
It
was 1 point.
Yeah, that's cool.
I don't remember the score, but it was 1 point.
Yeah. That's something. My senior year in high school, you can go around and you can order senior rings. And I remember telling my parents, I don't want to order a senior ring. I want to win a state championship.
Right.
Get beat in the second round in the football state championship. Then basketball, my senior year, I felt like we had the best team. Little Rock teams were down that year. There wasn't really that dominant Little Rock team, and I felt like we had the best team. Went 13-1 in conference, only got beat by like a half-court shot, and was really, you know, prepared to make a run and then get beat in the first round, you know. Right. So, but that's awesome.
All right, All-Star Week. You're in Fayetteville. No, it was in
Conway.
Conway, back in the day. You're in Conway, and you hear this name, Matt Jones.
It was two names. It was Matt, and it was Cedric.
Cedric Houston.
Cedric Houston was there.
What's the other guy named from West Memphis?
Darius Howard.
Darius pulled up in a limo.
What?
He pulled up in a limo.
See, Darius was like the number two running back in the nation or something.
Right.
Where I was a 3-star. I wasn't that as – Jeb Huckabee was a 5. You know, you look at some of the players, Sean Andrews, I don't think he played.
Yeah.
But I wasn't as highly recruited as some of the other guys.
He had people carrying his luggage.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. Oh, we're going to make it seem like that, but I think so. And his coach was actually, I don't know who his coach was at the time, but I can remember him being my head coach.
Yes. Lanny Doukas.
It was his coach, and I remember him saying, you know, give me a Shamar Bracy and give me a Matt Jones because of, you know, whatever was going on between them. And he said that. I don't know if he was trying to put fire on them, but it was pretty funny that he said that.
That's awesome.
But the experience was good, man. I know, like, Matt, you know, we looked at Matt as Hollywood. We looked at him as a superstar. Those guys, we wasn't on their level, you know. So when we saw him, it was almost like a can I have your autograph thing.
You should have walked out there with a Sharpie.
Who was there was a kid from Pine Bluff that was really fast. He was a receiver, I think. And I remember him saying,
was it Marquise Barnes?
I can't remember his name, but he was saying, man, I'm better than you. I can get open against you. And so we got up there and I was like, all right, I'll cover you. And the quarterback says, hut. And I just jammed him up at the line and held him for 2 seconds. And the coach said, sack. That's it.
We'll have more with Shamar Bracy in the studio. It's Overtime on the Buzz Radio Network.
Yes, sir.
Coach, what you do tonight, you live with forever.
Sir.
Hey, it'll be remembered forever right here.
Sir.
Give it all.
Yes, sir.
Anything you leave in there, lost forever.
Yes, sir.
It's big.
Sir.
But it ain't bigger than you.
Yes, sir.
We big enough for it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, tighten them straps a little bit. Hey, take a little ibuprofen. Mark with a little extra tape.
Yes, sir.
We'll take all we got tonight.
Yes, sir.
Every single drop you got to spill it.
Yes, sir.
This is how we're going to do it.
Yes, sir.
Come out striking.
Yes, sir.
Come out striking. It's wearing a white jersey. It walked between them white lines. It better get hit!
Yes, sir!
You hit them as long as they will legally let you hit them!
Yes, sir!
Take you about a 25-second break. Catch your breath a little bit. They're going to snap it again. You remind them we're still here.
Yes, sir!
We're going to be here all night!
Yes, sir!
We're going to hit them till they load the bus!
Yes, sir!
You ought to feel cheated. I mean, you ought to feel cheated. If a play goes by, if the ball is snapped and you don't get a shot on one of them,
sir.
Okay? Sir. We're going to out-execute them. We're going to out-hustle them.
Yes, sir.
And you make dang sure we out-hit them.
Yes, sir.
Let's go do what we're going to
do. I just got chills.
That gave you chills?
Yeah, he said we're going to hit them until they get on the bus.
that was a good one. And one thing that Coach Nutt used to say is exactly what he said as far as hit him as long as you can legally hit him, but I'll see you in 25. You know,
yeah,
25
I remember.
Seconds. I'll see you in 25. Don't get a late hit. Don't get a personal foul.
But help him back
up. They're going to snap it again. When you help him back up, I'll see you in 25.
Matt Jones, Trey Schaap, along with the Freaky Joe Franklin, special guest in the studio, Shamar Bracy, former Rising Wildcat, Arkansas State Indian, and played a little ball in the Canadian Football League, but they don't like big backs up there.
That's my story.
tell me a little bit about the rules there and what's different. Is it really 80%? Because people were saying Tebow can go to the CFL and play, but don't they throw the ball a lot more in the CFL?
To me, all right, I think it's harder to make a CFL team, the NFL team.
Well, because there's a rule, too, yeah, that there's going to be only so many Americans, right?
Yeah, I think it's 19.
Yeah.
I think it's 19. The rest are Canadians.
Yeah.
And it's the rules is 12 people on the field. It's 120 yards.
But eight of them or seven of them have to be Canadians, too, that are on the field. It's not only about how many can
be
on
the
team,
right. Yeah.
But so many Canadians have to be on the field at the time.
Your receivers are going to be American. Your line is going to be Canadian except for one, you know, standout O-line. When I was there, it was Freddie Childrens.
He just won.
Yeah. Freddie Childrens was still playing when I was there, and I was like, wow. And he was, like, actually my O-lineman. And then your quarterback is going to be from the United States, and everybody else is going to be Canadian.
We've got some Keith Lee Service Company live fan feedback. Dustin in Perryville, Matt, I'm a fellow class of 2001 and watched you return punts, play safety, and, of course, QB against Conway in the first round of the playoffs. My group I was with said you were going to be a Razorback and you were a great one. Thanks for the memories and go Hogs. Jason and Rising, what is Shamar's most memorable play of his career, and what was it like playing with Tyrell Johnson?
Most memorable, I would say my first year at Arkansas State. Not to downplay the championship, you know, in high school.
Sure. But after that, I want to know your favorite play as at Rising also.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so my first year, Arkansas State, I hadn't won the respect of the team. I came in the break. I came in spring.
January.
So, yeah, no one really knew me. I didn't go through the grind with them. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't starting. Tonio Warren was in front of me. Monroe in Little Rock. We down. First play, the second half, 70 yards. 70 touchdown. Yards to the house. And it was, I mean, when I say I had, what's the guy's name from Monroe? He's from Little Rock. Played for the Bears.
The safety or whatever, safety. The real fast guy
safety.
That ran Joe. Like a 4.3 at the combine.
Yeah, he's
or
like coaching at the Bears.
Okay.
Right now. I can't think of his name.
Come on, Joe.
I'm trying to
Chris
think
Harris.
Of it. Chris
Harris.
There you go.
Chris Harris. Yeah, he was right on my back, but, you know, I took it on in and I scored a touchdown. And it wasn't actually the touchdown it's the way that the team accepted me after that. It was like I was their guy.
Yeah.
You know, so that was real fun for me.
Now, speaking of Rising, you only played 1 year there, right? So tell me, you know, one of your favorite plays and what is when did you kind of realize that, hey, I'm good at this, I can get a scholarship, I can go to the next level and play?
And, we was playing Hermitage Grove, and
that's my wife's
her
alma mater.
Grove.
Yeah,
we was playing Hermitage Grove.
Don't be picking on them.
And and we actually lost this game, but it was we was like on the opposite 3 yard line. I had just fumbled, and defense got it back, and that's what put us on the 3 yard line. And Coach Tidy goes, "I'm giving it back to you. What you gonna do?"
Uh-oh.
Yeah. To the house.
There we go. Yeah.
To the house. And and it was just the way
he put it. Well, and that shows it shows the confidence in him that he has in you. And that's big because Trey and I were talking the other day about when I was playing basketball, and certain players also, not as much me, but they would mess up. And that, without even looking at the scores, Tabor, that horn would sound, and they knew they were coming out of the game. Mm-hmm. And it's important as a player that coach, that you know the coach has confidence in you.
Yeah.
And you're not worried all the time, if I fumble, am I coming out? If I turn the ball over, am I coming out?
Mm-hmm. Your most – I don't want to say most memorable sports moment, because I don't want to slight one less than the other. But – what I want to ask you, if it wouldn't have been for Clay Toddy, where do you think Shamar Bracey would be right now?
Well, I mean, I know I was raised well, but a lot of the people that I was hanging with, they're like doing a stretch, you know. So, you know, I don't know because I know I was hanging with them, you know, and I was right there with them every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, if it wasn't for, you know, what Coach Tidy did for me and the way he believed in me, it made me a different person. It made me, you know, a lot of people that know me, they would tell you, like, a guy told me the other day, Tyrell Johnson's stepfather, Travis, he told me the other day, dude, you was a bad kid. You was a bad kid, man.
Yeah. I get that too sometimes.
And you know, in the break we were talking about Urban Meyer and how people are, you know, the media and stuff are blaming Urban Meyer on Heron Hernandez, and you just don't see it that way.
No.
And I agree with you. Coaches do so much more positive for players and help them. And even in I'm like you. I had, well, as far as I was raised the right way, I had good parents and stuff. But coaches are your role model still.
They are.
Like, but the way it goes about that, they put their arm around you, they grind you, and you look up to them.
I think with Urban, I think it's just more people like sports writers that actually don't like him. So that was an opportunity for them to say,
take
I don't
shots.
Like you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they can't blame that on him, man. You know, you can raise your kid the best way you can. They're still going to go and do what they want
to
do.
If you had it to do all over again, what do you think you would have done different?
I would have focused more on the educational part, not just in school, but the educational part of football, because I feel like I wasn't the smartest player I could have been. You know, like it was times. I remember when I was at Green Bay. I got a shot at Green Bay, and I remember not having confidence. Like I just remember was like,
it's kind of big. It's overwhelming.
I remember like looking around like there's AJ Hawk and there. I remember Corey Williams. You know, I played with him, and he was there, and it just certain things that he saw me doing. He said, "Don't let me see you doing that again." You know, because it's like a wolf. He saw it. You know, as a defensive player. And I learned, like I say, when I left there and I got another opportunity to play, I took that experience and I said, okay, you know, don't show that you don't have the confidence that you know you don't have. And it was almost like I was psyching myself up to be a better player, but it was more mentally. You know what I mean? It wasn't I know what I can do. You know, a lot of people know what I can do, but the mental part of it got to me in a certain aspect because I felt like I was a little behind.
And when you said that, and Trey, that was a good question because – in high school, we didn't watch a lot of film, and you know, and so you go to the next level, and that's what it was. At Coach Ash and Coach Chaney was saying how he had to teach the players how to watch film.
Coach Partridge.
And we would watch some as a team, but that was one thing. When you get to the next level, you're individually, you're just watching film with receivers, lines, just watching film with line. Whereas in high school, you watch them as a team, but you're not really watching the proper way. That's one thing I wish in high school that they could teach kids how to watch film the right way.
Coach Gunn taught me how to watch film.
Yeah.
He taught me how to watch film. I mean, that's one guy that I'm telling y'all, he was on me every step of the way. Because, you know,
and he was your position coach.
He was my position coach. And I initially took it as a bad thing. Like, man, what's wrong with Coach Gunn? Like, why are you bothering me? But he saw something in me that I ain't seeing myself. And I mean, when I tell you, I look up and he's standing in my door in the classroom, you know, that let me know that he cared about
right.
me, you know,
right.
And he taught me how to watch film.
Jackie in Clarendon on our Keith Lee Service Company Live Fan Feedback says, I remember watching Shamar against Clarendon in the playoffs.
We beat him.
Ryzen hurt us, and Cedric didn't do much that night, but Shamar played like a star.
You know what?
I hated to see it, but I knew that night he was something special.
I got a good story about that. Like, Houston Nutt was at that game, and he was there to see
Cedric Houston.
Right, but he met somebody else. Cedric got hurt. Cedric got hurt because of Tyrell Johnson on a sweep, broke his nose, flattened him. I don't know if his line just fell asleep. But Tyrell's in the backfield as soon as he got the handoff. And it was the biggest hit I've ever seen.
Sort of like his like Davion Clowney hit.
Oh, it was like handoff, hello.
Yeah.
So, handoff, hello. Let's see if this gentleman's still there. Are you there, sir?
Goodbye. What's going on, man?
Well, we're about to hit a break.
Well, I just want to give a shout-out to the cutest mother-daughter-daughter team in Little Rock, HM&M. I know it's hot out there, but hang on. Hey, Chef. Steph, let me ask you something. What did they give you for the 10th place finish? A bag of teas?
A bag of teas. Tiger Bait, you obviously can't count either because it wasn't 10th. Back with more Overtime after this. Stay with us. Welcome back to Overtime. Matt Jones, Trey Schapp, along with the freaky Joe Franklin. We had some Keith Lee Service Company live fan feedback and a question for you, Shamar, and I don't know what happened to it. I lost it for a second, but we got it back. Michael in Little Rock, I think Ryzen has two more athletes at Arkansas State right now. Do you know who they are, and if so, what do you think about them?
I'm not really, really familiar with them, but I understand that they're all two up there.
Let's see. Marquise Walker is a 5'10 freshman, defensive back, 179 pounds. And then they have a linebacker up there as well. Let's see. Where did Quinterio Heath, 6'2", 200 pounds,
I know
redshirt
him.
Freshman.
I know him. Yeah, I know him. He's if I'm not mistaken, that's Carl Kidd's nephew.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Who out of the last couple of years, I'm trying to think. I got to see Malik Monk play, although it was basketball the other day. But when you're looking at some young players, you get to watch much high school sports, or who's a couple players you've seen the last few years that you look at being able to make a jump, being able to play at the next level?
I think I've been working so much that I haven't really paid attention to the high school level.
Yeah.
You know, as far as what I hear, you know, and what I see, I know that guy in North Little Rock, is really making a lot of noise. But besides that, I haven't really kept up.
Because we have Danny West on. We talked the high school sports, and he had there's two D tackles, one in Northwest Arkansas, one in Southern Arkansas. That
Bijan Jackson down at El Dorado.
Yeah, and is it Frazier? Not Frazier.
Frazier.
Yeah, in Northwest Arkansas, that are going to be studs, and looking forward to being able to watch him play.
And then
this
I
year.
Think Day is the running back over at Northwest. Is it Day? Don't get me wrong. Of course, I'm gonna have to look it up. Shamar, surely there's some kind of – something happened the week of All-Star Week when you were around Matt Jones back in the day that you've got some kind of scoop that you can give us on him.
I don't know that we were together that much because we were different teams.
Well, I know you weren't together that much.
Different, yeah.
But surely there's something. Yeah,
yeah, we was
Juwan Day over at North Little Rock.
Juwan Day, yeah. Yeah, I know he's making – we did a camp over there with Luke. Luke Mackinson's camp,
okay.
And they was all there. Yeah, he was making a lot of noise.
So is there anything that Matt that he did?
No, like I told you, to us, you know, to us small-time guys, the birthday boy is making noise today.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
Like I say, it was kind of just a good feeling to be around them. Like when we looked at the Matt Jones and the Huckabee guys, they was superstars to us. They was Hollywood to us. So we like, look at them, look at those. Look at
Hollywood.
Look at Hollywood. What they call Matt, like, trash elite, because they was like, he's a quarterback, but he swear he can play basketball. All he do is dunk.
Like, yeah, yeah. That was the thing. I wanted to be a basketball player, and we played at some Little Rock schools a couple times, but we just never could beat them.
Basketball wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
No, I don't see that.
Nah.
I don't see it. The way
but
built,
I'll tell you,
no.
Shamar, just seeing him on the other side, and where I was just thinking, Coach, how are we going to beat them? Look at their – Shamar Bracey
Diaries.
We won,
right?
No, we won.
Whoa,
good try.
Are you serious? I thought we won that game.
Good try.
I had two touchdowns.
How many touchdowns did you have, Mr. Jones?
I threw two touchdown passes, and I think we got our two-point conversions.
Yeah, you got MVP.
We won. And
so the West beat the
but
East.
But I'll
that
tell
year.
You, look at Shamar could have played for a 5A school. You know, it didn't matter. And that's what you were saying. And you both are making good points. There's some great players in 2A, 3A football.
Yeah.
Not just because, and some people get caught in, oh, well, he's from Northside. He's from Little Rock Central. He must be better. And it doesn't always work out that way.
Well, you talk about Malik Monk, who you got to see last week, last Tuesday, he plays for East Poinsett County.
Right.
And then Jamario Bell plays for Junction City. And Jamario Bell is probably going to be one of the next great defensive
hands,
ends.
I mean, he has the DN hands. Like, when you're in an NFL locker room, you don't have to know the names or the players, but when you look at how a player's built, you know, oh, well, that's a defensive lineman.
Is that guy that's committed?
I think he's
– he's not committed yet.
But he's been offered by
he's
him, right?
He's been offered by
him. He's going to be a DN for
the
Hawks.
I think I saw him in one of these camps.
He'll be good.
He's a big
yeah.
dude.
Yes,
yeah.
Big guy. Do you have any more camps coming up this summer that you're going to be involved in?
We're working on some stuff, but – it might not pan out this year, but we're really trying to get more involved. And what we want to do is, because we actually talking about what we, you know, like the smaller players, we want to, you know, everybody can't get to Little Rock and North Little Rock. And it's guys that are undiscovered, and their scores and their times are not getting, you know, recorded and
sure.
putting in these books. So these people can kind of understand who they are and look at them.
Right.
So we want to take it on the road and go more south. Go deep down there, you know, by
Fordyce, like you're saying,
Fordyce,
yeah.
That 79, that highway down through there, man, I'm telling you, it's some undiscovered talent.
When you are in the town of Fordyce, do you have to kind of look around and watch your back?
Nah, they like me, but when they just like, you know, they say, like, man, I remember you were so hard to bring down and stuff like that, but like, it's just like I tell you, one of my best friends is from Fordyce, and we lives around the corner from each other. We find ourselves in like the most heated debates all the time, and it's not about like I told the guys the other day, dude, I played against him 3 years at Arkansas State. He never tackled me. He was the middle linebacker. What's wrong with that?
Yeah,
you know, but it's just that Rising Fordyce thing is so deep, and it touches people's hearts so much to where. When it come to football and us actually playing them, they need to do like a trophy like they do with
a traveling
I think they
trophy.
Do. I think they do.
I think they do.
I think they didn't do it when I played, but I think they do it now.
Do they? Would you wear a Fort Ice hat?
I would never do that. I would never do that. I heard y'all talking about that, and I said that's like me wearing a Fort Ice hat.
He said that quick.
That's a little different though.
Yeah. So I would never do that. They would not let me back in Rising if I did it.
Would you wear an Arkansas Razorback hat on the campus at Jonesboro?
I don't think they even pay attention.
It's not that big of a deal.
It's not that big of a deal. Yeah. But I mean, to hold on. Let me get some. I'm gonna get hurt for saying it. Like,
no, you won't.
Let me.
There's no one in our minds.
In our minds, we feel like that they won't play us because they got more to lose. So it's like, whatever.
Well, I think that's a very fair statement. I as far as Arkansas has more to lose because Arkansas, Shamar, if you're saying is. Arkansas
birthday
would be expected to win, and so if they lose, it hurts them more than it does Arkansas State.
Yeah.
What about Arkansas State's schedule? They're playing
the
Miami
Auburn?
And USC? Or no, they're not playing Miami.
Auburn,
but,
Missouri this year.
And they're playing USC
Southern Cal
next year.
And Miami.
And it's like the record, like a record payout day, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
$1.3 million.
It's crazy.
Ooh, share some money.
I love being a part of those.
Well, Shamar, thanks so much for coming in. Let's stay in touch.
I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, and anytime you got some camps going on, you're welcome back in time. We'll help you out as much as we can.
Let us know what's going on.
I got to get the birthday boy to some cake.
There,
or something.
Yeah, I mean, he's over here wondering, okay, where are my presents, Dad?
It's
where's my cake? I'm hungry.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all having me, man.